Location, location, location. It's a very popular and familiar saying to us. And I think that certainly, even as Americans, we may embody this desire and this longing more than anyone in the world. We are a culture now that's transient, in the best and the worst sense of the word. We're either wandering homeless, searching for that home physically, or we're in a home, but it'd be a better one on that street, on that side of town, maybe in a different town. And I think that what we know from our culture is that at the same time we're always looking for that, we are a people that are deeply spiritually unsettled. This culture of ours, maybe not even confined to this country, but a modern culture that lacks the kind of rootedness that an ancient people had, and it's always searching for a real, authentic identity that they can proclaim, and more importantly, I think, that settles us into knowing who we are. This reading today from Matthew is something that comes from Mark's gospel, and it's shared in all of the gospels. But for Matthew's community, it had a special resonance because the place that Jesus settles in Capernaum, in Galilee, was a place that they not only knew, but many in Matthew's community may have in fact lived there. This was their location. And so when Matthew gives us this prophecy of Isaiah, it really spoke to them. This Isaiah prophecy is rooted in their long history of suffering from the first conquest of the Assyrians coming into that very place. And as the prophecy unfolds and we're told those wonderful images that the oppression is lifted from them, they knew that oppression. It was the oppression of their families and ancestors. It was the yoke of the Assyrians, a dominating foreign power that had claimed their home now and displaced them, if not physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I think more importantly for Matthew, it's so rich because Matthew needs to demonstrate to his community what location is about, because the temple is gone and they're in a deep grief of identity. And Matthew understands that prophecy doesn't predict the future, but it explains the past. And so Jesus, Matthew says, intentionally goes to this place when he hears that John has been arrested. I think that in Jesus' sense of identity, he knows that he has to continue John's work. But now, not just proclaiming the kind of repentance that John preached, but a repentance that finds center in peace and in justice and in God, and makes this prophecy an absolutely incarnate one. And the psalm gives us an indication of that very way of thinking. One thing I've asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And Matthew's community couldn't have prayed that psalm without thinking of this Jesus who now is the living embodiment of that physical temple that no longer stands. It's a familiar story for Matthew's community, and they would have gotten the geography. And it was familiar and it was comforting. And yet, at the same time, like Jesus always is, it was disruptive. This place and this location, Jesus tells them, you know well. But then he does something that they wouldn't have understood at all. He goes and he calls disciples to follow him. They would have been very perplexed at that. In their culture and in their world, people went and sought out the prophets. People went and sought those who they were going to follow. And here Jesus reverses that setting completely, and he's brazen. And he goes to them and he says, come with me. From this place, go around this location with me, and I will enable you to do something radically different than you are now. Not just fishing for fish and livelihood and everything that these people knew. I'll help you fish for people. I will help you offer to others that sense of location and home and dwelling in God. And how do they respond? And this may be the thing that's the most disarming for us. They drop the nets. They move out of that side of town. They move out of that identity that's everything they know, everything that's going to even bring them sustenance. And they follow this person that's just spoken a couple words to them, and their lives will never be the same. And it's even more disruptive for a Jewish audience hearing that, because they leave Dad in the boat. They don't even take him to shore and say, okay, you'll be okay without us. How is this Jewish father going to survive without his sons? It's absolutely disarming. Do you ever think about it? There he is sitting out in a boat. How in the world did he even get out of it? And did he? And there's the edge of the good news. It always brings us life, and it always leaves us on the edge of death. Spiritually, possibly, emotionally terrified, and maybe even physical death. I think that's what Paul's talking about. He goes from that Jewish identity into a place now where he says at the end of that reading, you know, we don't want to empty the cross of its meaning. And he's not just talking about resurrected life. He's talking about the crucified Christ that he never shadows, that he never hides. And we know that those people, Paul and Peter and those first disciples, followed that Jesus, often, if not always, to their own physical death. But to a place where they could find the center of God. And we as a community sit in this place today in all of the images of light, in all of that epiphany glory. And we know from Matthew's gospel what the work of incarnation must be. Jesus Matthew says, tells us that movement is part of God's plan. But it's not always a movement to the right side of town, but to the place where you can be, as Jesus will say, I am, and God is here. When the disciples in John's gospel ask Jesus where he's living, you know what he says? Come and see. And he's not talking about a condo in Capernaum. And off they go. So here we are at St. Mary's. And there's incarnation all around us. And there's light all around us. And there's also a lot of darkness around us. But the way in which we're going to find that light and radiate it is not to perpetuate the anxiety and the fear that in this place or in that place or this way of thinking is the only right one. It's going to be, I think, to respond like the disciples do, to drop it all and follow and find that place in the very heart of God that gives us that I am feeling and knowledge and experience and identity. It starts right here for us today. And will you find that in those prophets that come to you, in those Christs that come to you and ask you to give it all up? They're not going to be always the ones you recognize or the ones you want to see or the ones you want to follow. But they're here right now in this location. Location. Location.